Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and we are in the holiday season now. It's upon us, and happy Hanukkah to all you people out there. Mike, what is your plans for the weekend?
Well, I kind of have a mixed family, so we both celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas, which was always fun. Not as many gifts, do you think, but yeah, we're going to have a good time, a lot of good eating, a lot of good hanging out with some family, and so yeah, it's the best time of the year.
It certainly is, and I had a wonderful chance to go visit some relatives up in the state of Washington. I was in Tacoma for a few days with my sister and her family and their kids, and took a trip across the state to Spokane and got to see all my nieces and nephews and their family, so it was a great trip. And I've got snow on the ground, and so memories of 55 years ago or so when I made that trek the last time, I think, across state when I was going to Washington State University. So it was great to be back there. Had a chance to go down to Pullman and spend a little bit of an hour of touring the new campus, or the campus that I didn't know today, but wonderful time. For you college football fans, the CFP has their new alignment for the college playoffs. The Rose Bowl has Michigan at Alabama, Sugar Bowl has Washington and Texas, and FSU got snubbed.
Yeah, it's all the punditry I saw about that, all the talking heads said, yeah, they got snubbed, but I would have done the same thing.
Well, you're 13-0, and you do have a lot of history and tradition. Florida State has been one of the top 25 schools in the country. You know, when you do look at their schedule, however, there's only like two games that you think that might have a chance to lose. So I understand that, but going 13-0 is a tough spot.
Well, wasn't the rationale, too, is that it sadly the Florida State quarterback got injured, and they think that, they won't draw eyeballs anymore.
What about Georgia? I mean, Georgia's number one most of the year, with maybe an exception of a couple of weeks. They lose a tough game to Alabama, 3-point game, and they are not even in the mix. And then you have Texas and Alabama both jump Florida State. So anyway,
both one-loss teams.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, there's always some kind of controversy. It does, I believe, come down to some very exciting games. I think these games are going to be terrific. So I just want to hope that college football fans are going to have a great time with that, because I'm getting excited about it because Washington is in it. We're going to be right back with our special guest right after this with Ned Colletti. Hi, I'm Ron Say, and I would like to make a special announcement for something I'm absolutely thrilled about, which is the official launch of my website that is available as of today. You can listen to episodes of our podcast, subscribe to our podcast, sign up for our newsletter, shop our online store, view up-and-coming events, book events, sponsor and advertise on our show, and more. Just go to theronsayshow.com. That's theronsayshow.com, and we'll see you there.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today by calling 800-785-9618. Every donated vehicle will either be properly recycled in an eco-friendly manner or given a new life through reuse. Donating your vehicle is easy. Simply call 1-800-785-9618 and Heritage for the Blind will do the rest. They'll even arrange for your vehicle to be picked up at no cost to you. And for a limited time, when you donate your car, you'll receive a $200 restaurant voucher and a two-night, three-day hotel stay at one of 50 locations. Call 800-785-9618 right now to schedule your tax-deductible vehicle donation and make a positive impact on the environment while helping others. Heritage for the Blind, where every car donation counts and every person makes a difference. Call 1-800-785-9618 now.
Fred Dreyer here, the heartburn hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's Fresh Produce Box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
They still call me the Penguin.
We have returned from the break. Ron Say here, and we have a very special guest, Ned Coletti. And Ned will receive a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Please be sure to use my VIP code Ron Say when checking out at Melissa's.com. Ned Coletti is a man that I got to know about back in 1984 or so, which is a long time ago. He has 40 years of Major League service. He is the proud winner of the four-time Emmy winner of Baseball Analyst. He's been an assistant general manager. He's been a general manager with a lot of success. Ned, so happy to have you on your show. How are you today?
Great, Ronnie. Good to hear your voice again. Yeah, we go back a long time.
And that's, you were born, raised, went to school in Chicago, and your first major league breakthrough is with the Chicago Cubs at a time when I think Cub fans were still going to the park to have a good time, not exactly rooting for their team to win games.
No doubt. That 84 team changed really the trajectory and the seriousness of the franchise. I think Dallas Green, who was obviously instrumental in bringing you to Chicago, I can remember the day vividly when he made the deal. It was time, as Dallas said back then, time to build a new tradition. And 84 team won for the first time playoffs since 1945 World Series, when there were no playoffs, just a World Series. So that was a pretty cool thing to do, and the people we had on that club were good too.
No question about it. You had a new ownership in the Tribune Company, and I think that's where the new beginning started. And I remember having conversations with Dallas about, you know, how we would improve some of those things. And I remember a time in spring training, we were taking a bus over to Scottsdale to play the Giants. And when I got off the bus, we had a Philly bag, we had a Met bag, we had an Atlanta bag, Dodger bag, Cub bag, all the teams were represented. And I kind of felt like, you know, we were a co-op team. I said, people coming over to the game don't even realize who we are, you know? It's a mixture of players on, you know, maybe it's a, who knows who they are. And so when I got back to Mesa that night, I left a message for Dallas, and I said, could we have a brief conversation? I have something that I think is important. It's important to me, and I think it might be important to you. And so when I got to the park the next day, he came into the clubhouse and he said, yeah, since you're not playing today, why don't we just around game time, we'll just take a couple chairs and go down to the bullpen and start talking about what you'd like to. And I said, terrific. So I explained my concern and I said, you know, I said, if we're going to have, you know, a new beginning, you know, we have to have an identity and we need to have that that identity now, because it was kind of, I felt out of place taking that bus and getting off the bus over there. And it's like, we don't even know who we are. And he took it and ran with it. And he said, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm surprised that I didn't think of that earlier. But he said, we're going to change that. We're going to see that to that soon. And how soon? The next day. And Yosh Kawano was the guy in the clubhouse that was very upset about the fact that he had to break out these brand new bags in spring training. He was upset. And you know Yosh, he was walking around with a white t-shirt and white pants and a hat and a cigar in his mouth. And he says, I can't believe it. He said, we can't even wait till the end of spring training to get these bags out. You know, it's extra work and it's whatever. But I just felt that, you know, one of the things that I hopefully would have brought to the club was some kind of an understanding of leadership and how we go about it. I mean, we had a lot of players who had won. You know, Boa was there and he had won. And I came in and I had been to that World Series a number of times and won. And we were here to help in this new transition. And Dallas did exactly what I had hoped he would, which is be true to what he said to me. And he said he was going to make changes. He said we were going to be competitive, and he did all of that. And you were part of all that.
Yeah, it was obviously a special time, and you're right. And we had so many new players. I got there in 82, and the 81 team, the strike interrupted the season. And thankfully for the Cubs, it interrupted the season because they were on their way to probably 100 losses. So most of those players were gone, and Dallas got busy right away in the winter of 82, making a few moves with Philly and a few other moves, and then your move from L.A. and on and on. And it, we did. We had a collection of players from all over the league. And, you know, you're right about Yosh. You know, Yosh was going to hang on to anything he could for as long as he could.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, getting everybody to look the same, like they work for the same team and play for the same team. You know, Yosh would look the other way once in a while before he'd try to do that.
Well, you know, Dallas, early in the 84 season, we had a chance to get Rick Sutcliffe.
Yes.
And he called me. And this is like, this doesn't happen.
Right.
You usually don't call a player. And it certainly didn't happen earlier to me in my career. He says, I wanted to run something by you. And he said, you know, we've got a chance to pick up Rick Sutcliffe. What can you tell me? And I said, well, I said, I can tell you that his rookie year, he won 17 games. He's a bulldog. He will give you the innings pitched. He's very competitive. He can field his position, and he can swing the bat.
Yep.
And I said, if you have an opportunity to get him, then I suggest you do. And he did. And, you know, along with, you know, Dennis Eckersley coming over and Eck being a starter at that point in time in his career, you know, we had an outstanding rotation, you know, with Ruthven and Trout and Sanderson. We matched up well with everybody. And then our everyday eight with Matthews in left and Dernier in center and Moreland in right. And Leon was having the best part of his career, I believe. And Jody Davis had a breakout year in 84 where he drove in 90 runs. And the consistency of Boa and the emergence of Sandberg, wow. That could have lasted a little bit longer. But very disappointed that we couldn't pull that off in 84.
Yep. You know, the playoffs back then were just a best of five LCS, and we were one win away with three to play and just couldn't get it done. But I think the first moves that were really key was getting Larry, getting Bo, and then adding yourself. And then after that came Sarge, kind of a leader in his own right.
Yes.
And the emergence, as you said, of a young Ryan Sandberg and the pitching staff. You get two starting pitchers. He acquired Eck maybe 5 weeks ahead of Sut. So that came the first week of May, and Sut came middle of June. And when you add two pitchers of that ilk, and, you know, it's rare you can do that at any point in time without free agency being involved. But they, you know, he did it, and he changed the entire club and how people thought and how people went about their business, and every facet of it was remarkable, really. But you're right, the ending is still something that, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember the losses far more than I remember the wins in my 40 years.
Yeah, know, well, that hurt. That's my second biggest loss in my career. The other one came in the World Series. But, you know, I thought the bullpen was solid. We had a terrific closer in Lee Smith. And we had a future. You know, I felt like we had a future. You know, we were drawing people now. We were now winning. We were giving them another reason to come to the ballpark rather than just enjoy themselves in the bleachers with a few beers. They actually came to the ballpark to watch the Cubs win, and it made a big difference. I thought we really had a big impact on the city of Chicago.
Well, it was the beginning of, I mean, they've been off and on. They've been good really since that team. But that team put them back on the map in a different way, because the generation of fans that really followed them had never seen anything like it.
Right.
You're not talking about playoff or contending. You're trying to get to 81 wins. A lot of their teams in the late 70s couldn't win 81 games.
Yeah.
So it really changed it. And we had, you know, like you and Larry, guys that have won, guys that knew what it felt like, knew what it needed to do to be successful, and that kind of transcended everybody, you know. And, you know, you had Sandberg started at third base till you came, and then he moves to second, and Larry's still short. So really good infield, good club.
No question. We're going to be back with more after this brief break with Ned Coletti.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save.
Okay, we have returned with our special guest, Ned Colletti. And Ned, you got your start with the Cubs. You got to get your feet wet there. In 1994, you joined the San Francisco Giants, and you were director of baseball operations and later promoted to the assistant general manager. How did that take place? How did the Giants come in and take you away?
Well, it was an opportunity to move up in an organization. And of all the teams, because that's right when the big strike hit that cost the World Series. And of all the teams, I would think maybe San Francisco and the fan base suffered the most. And so their attendance, they're playing in Candlestick Park, which you knew very well, and you had a lot of success there, as I recall, both with the Dodgers and the Cubs. But we didn't draw. And the organization was very, very thin. So they came looking for me because they knew I could do a few different things. And it was really a small front office. It was Bob Quinn was our general manager. Brian Sabian, who went on to become a great general manager, in my mind, a Hall of Fame general manager. He was the assistant GM, and he also ran the draft. Dick Tidrow, who I think you were maybe a teammate.
I know Dick well.
Yep, he passed away a couple years ago, sadly, but he was the farm director. That was the group. That was an entire group. And we had a couple of young people that would help us with paperwork and things like that. But we started to figure out how we were going to get this franchise back on track. In my first 2 years there, we lost 95 games, probably both years. And then Brian moved up to the GM spot. I moved up to the AGM. Dick Tidrow started to oversee both the draft and player development. And from 97 on, we put together a really strong run. And I think helped get that new ballpark built. Because Mr. Lurie, who had owned the team for a long time, had tried maybe four or five times to get a new stadium in San Francisco. And no interest. Nobody wanted to support it, even if he was going to fund it himself. So, but a team we had in 97 and in 98, we went to 163rd game to see if we get to the postseason. And people started to take notice. Of course, we had Barry, we had Jeff Kent, we had guys that we had acquired. We kind of did it the same way Dallas did. Saves grew up with the Yankee organization. I obviously, as you mentioned, grew up with the Cubs organization. But we had both seen our bosses bring in people who knew how to win and knew how to compete. And that was the most important thing. Our first winter, we brought in Jeff Kent, to me, a borderline Hall of Famer. JT Snow had some great years with us. Richie Aurelia was a minor league player we acquired. Daryl Hamilton, God bless him, we acquired. But we started to add and had great success there. The new ballpark came online. Giant teams beat the Dodgers pretty handily in most of my time there as an AGM, which I think probably sparked the Dodgers to, when they made the change with Paul, to say, well, where are we going to go and find a GM? And, well, you know, what team keeps beating us? And so maybe that's how I ended up in Los Angeles. That was 17 years ago, 18 years ago now.
Yeah, well, you certainly have had a lot of success. You've been able to win every place you go. You have had great attendance to follow, certainly in Los Angeles. Reminds me of the times that we were there when we led the league in attendance both at home and on the road. And leading in attendance at home was something that was a given. We were the first team in Major League history to do that. And essentially, they do live in the ballpark that we built. And it's been a traditional thing, but certainly you added a great deal of success to that. You also had, back in 2014, I believe it was, you were the new ownership of Guggenheim. They had some different plans, and you didn't see yourself fitting in with that, or just wanted to bring in Andrew Friedman.
I think it's always obviously ownership's right to do what they feel is best. They bought the team in the spring of 2012 and took over on May 1st. 212. We had a team that we kind of cobbled together before they got there, because we were obviously going through a ownership with bankruptcy and right. divorce and
right.
some other challenges. we almost made it
well.
In 212. And then we made it in 13 and 14, got to the LCS in 13, a division series in 14. And they wanted to get somebody, I think, younger, more analytical. You know, I never got a reason for it. And it was, you know, it was fun. I did it for almost a decade, and that's a long time. And I got to tell you, you know, driving up Elysian Park Avenue and then Vince Scully Avenue, I had, still do, had so much respect for the organization. And I would drive up that road, and I think about you, and I think about Garv, and I think about you know, Davey Lopes, who was with me for a little while, and Vin, and Jaime Harin, and Billy DeLurie, and all those people who yes. I had known for such a long time
yeah.
and had so much respect for. And now I was going to get a chance to run the Baseball Saturday organization. So never did I ever go up that road or take that seat without knowing that I was in a very, very special place. And when it ended, it was you know, time, I think, maybe a little bit for me, but certainly for them to make a move. And they were kind enough to give me a chance to do TV, where I did that for 7 years. And I think we were nominated maybe for an Emmy in 6 of the years and prevailed 4 times with, you know, John Hartung and Jerry Hairston and Nomar and Oral and a bunch of guys that really put together good shows.
And the game certainly has changed since then, hasn't it?
Oh, yes.
And so now we're going to be talking about, you know, today's new game, you know, metrics, lineups, pitching, gambling, rules, umpiring. Yep. Where does all that sit with you?
I think the rule changes that they made in the last year were probably driven by really the advancement of analytics. Your shift, no shift, or, you know, two infielders on both sides of second base, the pitch clock, things like that, the reliever that has to face 3 hitters, starting the game in the with a runner on second in extra innings. You know, I think it analytics probably has a touch to all of those. I think the changes were, especially the pitch clock, very, very necessary.
Yes.
I think fan base. You know, I teach at Pepperdine. I've been there for about 6-7 years, and I teach sports leadership classes. And I bring up baseball to really, really smart students. And most of the time, I get a blank look back. You know, they're 18, 20 years old. They're not into it. They can give you the starting roster for Manchester City in the EPL, but they can't tell you really who, maybe one or two, who the Dodgers are. And I think it's, you know, the time of game, the style of the game, where for a long time, and still a little bit, it was home run, strikeout, or walk. Well, people got more to do than just sit there for 3.5 hours, 3:45, watching a baseball game that doesn't have the activity or the action that they're accustomed to. So I think the game may have lost part of a generation. And I think the rule changes, especially the pitch clock, is a chance to get that generation back and certainly keep the one it has or the two it has, and maybe instill a new interest in those who aren't fans yet. It's made a world of difference. I think the pitch clock's been great.
I do, too. I think it also helps the flow of the game, the people on the field. It keeps your infield in particular at a higher focus, and that's extremely important. You don't have a chance to wander too far away. I felt that the umpiring suffered greatly this year. I've seen a lot of stuff where people would absolutely hammer the umpires on Instagram.
Yep.
And the strike zone. You know, Bill Russell, you know, works for the Umpires Association and grades out umpires. And we've had talks about it in the past, but are we getting closer to robotic umpires?
I think so. I think at least at the plate. I think that's going to be the next big step, and I think that'll be obviously another dramatic step.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's going. When you've got the technology that exists, and you know, and I've become a bit of a tennis fan the last few years, and You know, they most of the major events do not have line judges.
Right.
It's all computerized.
Right.
And they can show it to you instantaneously in or out on the line. And so they've come up with the mechanics to do it. And I think they'll probably do it. I think you'll see it probably in the next 2 or 3 years, whenever their contract with the umpires would allow them to institute it. I'm not sure what the language is on the current one. But I think that will be the next dramatic change in the game.
Well, if they're practicing it with it in the minor leagues, it's inevitable. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. And I would imagine that the Umpires Association is going to have something to say about that, too, as well. But, yeah, I think it's just around the corner. How far? Who knows? Mike Socha was on the show here. He's been on a couple times, and recently during the time of the World Series. And, you know, he confirmed pretty much that the people upstairs, the metrics, they write up your lineups for you. Dusty Baker and Bruce Bochy are kind of the old school managers who probably have a little bit more hands on with that. But I think that's the only reason that they turn around and held on to a position, because I don't think they would like to be able to be dictated to so much. They want this to resemble more of what their team is about. And I was very pleased to see both of them get to the final stages of the baseball season in the World Series, and very happy for Bruce. You know, he's been a terrific manager, and Dusty won last year, so it's going to be the last time that I'm going to root for the Astros. I wasn't really rooting for the Astros, but it just kind of held its place. But Dusty is now retired, and we're moving on. So we're going to be right back with Ned Coletti right after this with more baseball.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get 4 lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get 4 lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa. That's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
This message is sponsored by Coca-Cola. Wake up to the taste you crave with breakfast at Burger King. Rise and shine with a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit with melted American cheese layered between warm buttermilk biscuits. Or grab and go with a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich, a toasted croissant with savory sizzling sausage. Burger King breakfast sandwiches and Simply Orange, better together. Enjoy a Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange juice and get your vitamin C one delicious sip at a time with no added sugar. All Burger King breakfast sandwiches pair perfectly with crispy hash browns and all-natural Simply Orange juice. Start your day with a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. It's thick-cut smoked bacon, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. Never sweetened, never concentrated, and never frozen, Simply Orange pairs perfectly with a delicious breakfast at Burger King. Better together, Burger King breakfast with Simply Orange juice at participating U.S. Burger King restaurants.
Are you looking for a guilt-free holiday season? Check out 100calsnacks.com. With 100% natural ingredients and no sugar added, these snacks are low in carbs, but high in protein and fiber, and absolutely delicious. You'll get a kick out of the chocolate brownies with ashwagandha, and use code NOGUILT for 25% off your order. That's the number 100calsnacks.com. Get the energy boost you need with a potent dose of superfood for just 100 calories. That's 100calsnacks.com.
This episode is brought to you by Columbia Sportswear. It's snowing again, and that wind chill is killer. But you're not worried about that because you shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection. It's warmth perfected with tiny gold dots that reflect your body heat inside and protect you from the cold outside. No snow or chilly temps can stop you now. Go out anyway. Shop the Omni Heat Infinity Collection now at Columbia.com/infinity.
Steve Carlin going head-to-head with Ron Say. High drive into deep left field. Back goes Leszczynski. It's gone! Grand slammer!
2-2 to Say.
It's high in the air to deep left field. Winfield back. She's gone!
This Week in Dodger History is brought to you by BFF Financial. The solutions are ours. The decisions are yours.
The fans.
And this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1997, the San Francisco Giants, aforementioned, signed former Dodger Oral Hershiser, the Bulldog. 39 years old, right-hander, who would post an 11-10 record with a 4.41 ERA in 202 innings, and he will spend only one season with San Francisco before moving to the Mets the following the season. And Oral Hershiser was so beloved here in Los Angeles, he didn't get one piece of guff from the Dodger fans to go into the hated and vile San Francisco.
Well, that's surprising. I remember when Juan Marichal came over in 1975, and there weren't a lot of happy Dodger fans with having a Giant on the roster. And I am told that I am supposed to introduce my new book once again. Penguin Power is now available on my website at theronsayshow.com. Please get your autograph there today.
Makes a fantastic Christmas gift.
Yeah. So, Ned, I have a big question for you, and I know that you've done a lot of charity work, and I do want to get that. But I want to start out this segment with, what is your take on the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes?
Yep, it's interesting. First off, I was the guy that actually signed Hershiser in San Francisco.
Good for
you.
They
could, you know, we both come home, so to speak.
Yeah,
the,
sure.
Shohei is probably the most interesting free agent situation I can recall in a very, very long time. Nobody knows. Nobody's been allowed to know really what the parameters are, what the needs are, what the player is actually looking for. And you've got a lot of media people that get paid to know. So when they don't know, suddenly you've got all sorts of theory. One of the theories being he knows where he wants to go. This was before the winter meetings began, and now they're over. He was sure he knows where. I mean, he knows where he wants to go. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're just playing along? That, you know, they know what they can get. They know where he wants to be, but now they're going to continue to up the ante by keeping other people who he has no interest in. Continuing to raise the price on the team that he does have an interest in. I know that's the business, and I know that's how it goes. I've done about $2 billion worth of contracts. But it's the mystery of it all leads people to all sorts of different theories, and some of them are not very flattering.
Well, it seems as if Dave Roberts stepped off the boat. He was asked about the meeting that they had, yeah. And he said that he felt he wanted to tell the truth about it. But my understanding of it is, inside information has it that the inner office is really not very happy with that.
Well, it sounded like they've had a couple discussions since. You know, it's you know, as Dave Roberts says, you know, I didn't want to lie. And
yeah.
So there's, you know, I mean, how does anybody dispute that approach? And I believe that if Ohtani has got a better chance to come to LA than he's got to go to any other place, in my opinion, for a number of reasons. And I don't think Dave Roberts saying that is going to take him out of that competition. You know, does everybody want to keep it quiet and all that? Sure, but again, he didn't give away any trade secret. It's not like, oh, the Dodgers are actually interested? Wow, you know, who knew that? You know, I mean, everybody's known that for 2 years that this is where this was coming. So, you know, I understand his position. I can understand some people probably being upset that anything was said, but I think it will have no bearing on what comes down in the next day or week or however long it takes for him to make a decision.
Well, it's probably coming as a shock to Dodger fans to see somebody in that position have transparency. because it seems as if you were talking to the inner office, they would say no comment or something else. We're not able to talk about that. So I agree with you. It shouldn't make any difference, but who knows what will happen. How would you go about trying to sign Ohtani? Has it come to a point now where it's possible to ask the player to, is it possible to approach him and say that there's a possible piece of pie in ownership on this table?
I'm not sure how that would work.
I'm not sure it would work either.
Yeah, it could be. It's almost like he would have to divest himself. If it is allowable through the CBA, he'd have to divest himself if he ever wanted out and trade and things like that. I actually think if you're going to make $500 million or whatever, you've got a pretty big piece of ownership.
Exactly.
In a different way. I'm not sure if they could do that or not, but I think that not only will it be the dollars that interest him, I think the creativity of the contract will interest him. You know, out clauses where a player can leave an organization or at least renegotiate a deal and become more and more popular. I used them in my last few years, one with Zach Greinke, in fact. And that may be something, because it doesn't mean that he wants, if he signs with LA and he gets a 10-year deal and he's got a 3-year out and a 6-year out or something like that, if it doesn't mean he wants to leave after 3 years. He wants to see where he's at. And right. Maybe the market will have increased yet again. And so maybe he can tack on another $50 million, $100 million, and continue to stay, but continue to have the opportunity to redo it if he so chooses. So I think it'll take some creativity. I think maybe not for L.A., but for some of the other teams that he doesn't know as well. I mean, he hasn't lived in Toronto. He's been there. He hasn't lived in San Francisco. He's been there. I'm hearing the Cubs are kind of on the way out. Anaheim maybe be back in, who knows, but I think that having an out is probably to his benefit, especially if it's a team that he's not sure what their history is or gonna that their future is going to be based upon their history.
What about, would you, as a GM, Ned, what about his injury history? We saw that the Angels shut him down these past 2 months. As a GM, would you be concerned about that when you're willing to pay?
No doubt. But I think that his agent, Nez Bilello from CAA, who I've known for a long time, has done a really good job of just kind of brushing it under the rug for the most part. And teams know it, obviously, and they can see the medical. They can see what repair work was done by Dr. Neil Eletrosh. But see, that's part of my thinking of the out clause, because how many times have we heard an agents say, well, when they signed the contract, this and that was going on, and so they could have gotten more if something else had happened. Well, there's, I guess there would be an argument in 3 or 4 years after he comes back and pitches for 2 or 3 years after missing this next one, where they could say, you know, we signed this contract and you knew that he wasn't going to pitch and you were willing to give him this much as a DH for the first year. So now that you know he can pitch and he's pitched for you, or you've seen him pitch and make 30 starts and throw 180 innings and of quality, we want an out because now we think the value is higher. I mean, an agent's going to use, if the player wants it, the agent's going to use every method of conversation he can. And we just read the other day about Bryce Harper.
Right.
And Scott Boras wanting, he wants to finish his career in Philly, so he wants an extension. Well, he's got 8 years to go. I mean, it's not like it's coming around the corner, and he'll be 38 years old. He's already moving to first base. So any chance that they get to get another bite of the apple, they go for it. So it'll be interesting to see what Shohei actually ends up with and what the situation is and what it looks like.
Well, Scott's always been pretty creative. I mean, and for sure. And, and I didn't know Nez was representing Shohei. Yeah. That's a nice coup for him.
Oh, yeah. He's a great agent. But Everybody sits in the shadow of Scott.
Of course.
Now for the first time, the spotlight's on him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And everybody's taking notes. And you think it's probably bottom line $500 million, huh?
Well, again, if you can believe what people speculate, and again, who knows if the camp is so tight-lipped, you know, who knows even anything that we're reading if it's not just right. conjecture or it's the bellman at the Grand Ole Opry Hotel telling people. You know, yeah. who knows where it's coming from?
You know, I had heard on the Fred Rogan.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 500 or more.
Yeah. I had heard from the Rogan and Pete show that they thought that he would end up here if he's a good businessman. That took me kind of as kind of funny, because with that kind of money, I don't think he's too worried about the endorsements that he's going to land afterwards. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what takes place. And, you know, Ned, I did want to briefly talk about some of the things that you're involved with on the community level, your charities and things, briefly before we have to close it out. So what are those things you're really interested in doing today?
Three that I've really fell in love with and that have been, I think, do great work for kids. One is called A Place Called Home, located at 29th and Central. I've been involved with them for probably about 15 years. And it's an after-school program, by and large, for people of every race and gender and language. And I know so many great success stories that have gone there and gotten out of a gang culture or gotten out of a tough environment and have gone on to college and done great things. So I was just at their banquet about 3 weeks ago, and it's a really phenomenal group. Another one is called Get Lit, Words Ignite, and it was started by a husband and wife, and they've been in business 17 or 18 years, and they do much of the same, but they almost do it from their kitchen table, and they have had all sorts of awards. They teach a lot of kids, you know, better reading, better writing,
right.
ability to express themselves through poetry or written word, and they've been honored at the Library of Congress. They've been honored at the Kennedy Center in New York City, have done some speaking in the United Kingdom at the Palace, Kensington Palace, and things like that. So really, really special. And then Austin Buettner came to me about 10, 12 years ago. We were having dinner, and he says, I think that kids that go to school that don't have access to eye doctors and can't see the board struggle more than other kids, and it's not fair. And if classrooms are overcrowded, these kids will never have a chance. So he started a not-for-profit called Vision to Learn, which has probably tested over a million students, not just in Los Angeles, but all over the country, and provided free eyeglasses to them. And we got the Dodgers involved right out of the gate. James Loney was one of our main spokespeople. Any player that wore glasses or contacts would go and talk to kids and say, hey, you know, this is how I do it. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, I can't tell you how many kids I saw put eyeglasses on for the very first time and be shocked at what the world looks like. And so those are the three things that I really have been involved with for a long time. And I think they help the people of Los Angeles, and some of them have helped the people, you know, throughout the land, especially the Vision to Learn group. But it's special. Everybody needs a chance. I lived in a garage in Chicago, and first generation collegian on my part, and I know the struggles that go on, not necessarily the struggles of today, but certainly the general struggles of not really having a roadmap or the foundation or the finances to do something that you have a passion to do. So all of these charities, I guess, have a little bit of my background and my history written into them a little bit. That's maybe why I was attracted to them in the first place. But thank you for asking.
Okay, so we will be right back for our final segment with Ned Coletti.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range.
range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. 800-390-5160. That's 800-390-5160.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Camping. Okay, we're on with our last segment, and Ned Coletti has got a new book out.
Yeah, it was just released a couple days ago. It's The All-Time Dodgers, and it's an art book. I was approached by a tremendous sports artist, David Holbrecht, who is down in Orange County, and he had the idea for me, along with scouts and other people who I've known in the game for a long time, to put together the all-time Dodger team. And he drew the art for it. There's no photos in it. It's all art. And Ronnie is the all-time third baseman with Justin Turner right behind him. And you'll see, if you see this book, you're going to see a great drawing of Ron in action as a player, talking to other players. And you know, we go through the entire lineup. It's a 26-man roster, plus we've got a general manager in there and an owner and a couple of very famous broadcasters as well, in Vin and Jaime Rin. So it's a very cool work. The writing is mine, and that's okay, but the artwork is tremendous. We went back to the early days of the Dodgers, too. It's not just an L.A. book. It's just not a book from the 80s or the 90s. It's a book going back into the 20s and the 30s with some of the players all the way through. So all-time great Dodger book, art book that David Holbrecht is the publisher of.
Okay, Ned, I want to thank you so much for joining our show. You've had a terrific career. I'm sure that all those people that you're involved with your charity work and other involvement are very pleased to have you on board. You've done a really terrific job, and I want to commend you for all of that. And I hope to have you back at some time soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ned.
Great to be on with you. I mean, I've known you a long time and much respect for you. And
thank you.
It was great seeing you when I was doing TV, and we'd run into each other once in a while.
All right. Thanks so much for joining
us. New Year's a Cub before New Year's a Dodger. Pretty special.
Okay. Ed Coletti, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Next week, we have another very special guest, someone that has a history of entertainment in his family, and I'm sure that you will be very pleased to tune in next week with our special guest, Beau Bridges. Yes, Beau Bridges. Yes, we're very pleased with that. So, it is the holiday time. I hope all of you have a wonderful Hanukkah week, and we'll be back with more next week. Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us.